Oh no, it's time for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that prefers Coke over Pepsi. He promises never to wear a man bun. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And I am, as Drew McMillan just told you, your Medicare expert for today, Doug Jones. I don't know exactly what he said about me. I'm assuming it was complimentary. I think I'm his favorite uncle. I know I'm his favorite living uncle. So I'm sure that whatever he just told you was highly complimentary and probably descriptive of my many years of accomplishments. Anyway, thank you for joining us today. It is so much fun to spend our time with you sharing Medicare thoughts. I mean, it's pretty exciting. Medicare is an exciting subject that everybody loves to talk about. And I may be maybe overreaching there a little bit, overselling it. Medicare is a subject a lot of people have to think about. And when they do, they often don't like the fact that they have to think about it. But it's my job to make them feel more confident that a lot of thinking isn't needed. You can boil it down to a few simple decisions. And B, it's going to represent probably for many people an improvement in your cash flow once all is said and done. Your Medicare insurance with Medicare, your protection is comes at a very reasonable cost. And if you buy a couple of products to fill in the gaps, you're going to find yourself living high on the hog without having to spend too much money to do it. At least that's my goal, is to help you feel confident that your Medicare protection is in place, that it's good, solid, and affordable. So anyway, we do that by virtue of a process that I like to think is really, really simple. And one time we set it to music. Often I ask Randy to play that musical interlude. It lasts about 30 seconds. And I bet if we listen carefully, he'll play it for us right now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. Thank you, Randy. We appreciate hearing that. And it is also a reference to my book, which is for sale on Amazon, Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. So you can pick that thing up for a reasonable price, or you can just listen to us pontificate. When I say us, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, I hear that this may be an episode that by the time folks hear it, you're going to be sitting back in Shea Jones in Illinois.
That is true. And it makes me unhappy to a certain extent every year at this time when it happens. But Randy has shared knowledge with me that I did not have. And it's absolutely frightening. And that is that this year in the North is apparently a big locust year. The locusts are coming. The 17-year locusts, the 13-year locusts, and all the confused locusts that are in between.
Confused. You got to watch for the confused locusts.
Yeah, they've got some kind of genetic anomaly going on that makes them not know when they're supposed to emerge from their whatever their stage of life is. But they come out of the ground and they fly up to a tree. And if the tree has been there for a long time, then there are a whole bunch of locusts in the ground, because when they fly up to the tree, they molt, they shed their skin, which is the ugliest thing you ever heard of. It's just, if you look at it closely, it's just like a brown giant Japanese monster. It's like Mothra. And There's some pontification going on at your house, I see.
Mothzilla.
You didn't even hear that, did you? You got a dog barking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
see, that's the human mind. The human mind says, I hear that sound so often, I'm not even going to pay any attention to it.
Yeah, it's interesting, the stuff that gets filtered out.
So I'm going to have to be dealing with the locusts, and I wouldn't care if they didn't shed their damn skins all over the place, but that was what horrified me when I was a seven-year-old little Doug Jones, and I had a pup tent that my parents gave me, and I came out there one day, and the inside of that pup tent was full of locust skins that had been shed. And I said to my parents, I'm never going in that pup tent again. That's the scariest place in the world. So I'm still scarred by that all these many decades later.
So you really don't care for the locusts. Is that what I'm understanding?
I don't care for the locusts. I don't care for their skins that they've shed. I don't mind their noise. I don't like the fact that they come out in huge quantities. Why can't they just, you know, spread it out over the course of a year? But it's just, there are several things I don't like about Illinois, and the locusts are right up there.
Okay. Well, in my world, it would be the 40 below zero winter days, but okay.
I forgot to mention that. If we had more time, I would pontificate on the weather. But often in the summer, I mean, last year, the weather was magnificent. It was sunny every day, and it was fairly warm every day, and it wasn't really humid, and we didn't have a lot of mosquitoes. We have two big giant ponds, and depending on the weather, those things are either magnificently beautiful with a waterfall cascading between them, or that's they're full of green duckweed and algae, and they're, you know, a breeding ground for all kinds of diseases. You never know which way it's going to go. That's Illinois for you.
I heard, now, is this true, Doug, that mosquitoes in Illinois actually have landing lights on them?
No, their little houses where they live have landing lights. And so they they know where to land. And basically, I think I might have landing lights on me because they love to land on me and then poke me full of holes.
Although you're one of these people that attracts them.
No, I'm not. It's just there are that many of them in Illinois. They run out of the people that attract them. I'm usually the last one.
You're the last guy. Oh, my God. We're going to have to go bite Jones.
We've sucked all the blood out of his buddies, so now we're coming after him. So it's, Illinois is just a hellhole. I don't know why people live there. But anyway, so we were going to talk about Medicare, I bet. So what I have for us today is a couple of articles that I want to, spout off about. One is I was sent a copy of a news release from some clients of mine. And these clients are covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois Medicare supplements. Now, I'm covered by those, too. Plus, I'm an agent for Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare supplements. You would think I would have gotten this thing in the mail, but no, apparently I've fallen off of their mailing list. So I had to get this from a couple of valued clients of mine, Bob and Marjorie. So what happened was they sent me this news flash that says, if you purchased or were enrolled in a Blue Cross or Blue Shield, that tells me it's not Illinois because Blue Cross and Blue Shield are the same company. So if you were purchased or were enrolled in a Blue Cross or Blue Shield health insurance or administrative services plan, now administrative services is for big, big companies. ASO, they call that, administrative services only. Those are the companies that are huge that look like they're insured by, let's say, Blue Cross Blue Shield, because that's all over the employee manual that they give you. It turns out that your employer is the one calling the shots. Blue Cross just does, or the health insurance company just does what your employer tells them to do. And that's called a whipping boy, because if your employer says, hey, I don't want to pay to have my Band-Aids, my employees able to go to the drugstore and buy medical, you know, things that I don't think I agree with, or if, I don't want them to, I want them to have a big deductible if they have to go to the emergency room. Well, the employees will run afoul of that sort of thing and then blame the insurance company instead of blaming the employer. And that keeps peace at the workplace for most employees just don't know that the employer is the one who generated the benefit structure that they don't feel comfortable with. But anyway, so this says if you were an insured by, or if you purchased a Blue Cross or Blue Shield plan between 2008 and 2020, a $2.67 billion settlement may affect your rights. $2.67 billion. Now, what we have here is, as I told you in an earlier podcast, every state has its own Blue Cross and or Blue Shield, or in Illinois' case, Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's all one company. Each state has a different company, but they all belong to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. And that's a nationwide association, whatever an association is. All these companies belong to the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Probably their membership is a condition of being able to use that name, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. In Illinois and four other states, it's Blue Cross, Blue Shield. In California, Blue Cross and Blue Shield are separate companies, and they are violent adversaries. But in Illinois, that's not the case. So it depends on where you go. But plaintiffs, the people suing, claim that Blue Cross Blue Shield Association and the individual blue plans violated antitrust laws by entering into an agreement not to compete with each other and to limit competition amongst themselves in selling health insurance and administrative services for health insurance. The defendants deny all claims. The defendants have asserted that their conduct results in lower healthcare costs and greater access to care for their customers. The court has not decided who is right. So anyway, it says the settlement class period for individuals insured groups is from February 7th, 2008 to October of 2020. And a bunch of legalese describing who can join the group and who is not allowed to file a claim and to join the group. And so it's one of these things. Class action makes a few lawyers rich, gets about $5 in compensation if there's a settlement at all for anybody in the class. It's a lawyer's dream come true. So I will tell you right now that I don't believe that Blue Cross Blue Shield has done anything wrong, but I could be wrong about that. I see no evidence in their operations that they do anything that is not competitive. And I'll tell you why that is. The premise of the lawsuit is that they were trying to limit competition amongst themselves. Well, I got to tell you right now, there are so many competing companies out there that Blue Cross Blue Shield companies would not exist if they didn't stay competitive with their non-Blue Cross Blue Shield competitors. So the fact that they have to compete with other companies doesn't, if they're limiting competition amongst themselves, that's senseless to me. This is ridiculous. Now, here's the other weird thing. This lawsuit is filed in Alabama, and I'm starting to smell a rat. I'm thinking the Alabama court system may have generated some or stirred up some excess activity, especially in their jury pools. I've heard of this happening in various places around the country where a certain location might be an excellent place to sue somebody because your odds of winning a settlement are much higher than they would be anyplace else. And so I then had that confirmed when a company that I'd love to do business with, and many of my clients love them too, because their expenses are very low. Therefore, their premium rates are very low. They've got the hottest selling Medicare supplement, high deductible plan going. And my customers love it once they understand what it's all about. Well, I had a client in Alabama that I sent signature forms to, and there was a brand new one included in the packet. It was a form that he had to sign promising never to sue the company, only to submit to binding arbitration if he ever had a problem with the company. Now, it's always written by lawyers in a scary fashion, like, you can't ever sue us. It doesn't matter what we do to you. We can string you up from a tree and torture you all day long. You still can't sue us. Only binding arbitration is the way that you can get any kind of settlement. In reality, the customer, it doesn't matter what you sign, the customer holds all the cards with a Medicare supplement plan. There is no way the company can rip you off because they don't decide what claims they're going to pay. They don't decide how much they're going to pay, and they don't have to, they don't do anything unless you pay the premium. So if you don't want to be their client anymore for one reason or another, and that's almost impossible to believe, all you have to do is stop paying them their pittance of a premium. Like you might be paying, I just signed up a lady the other day, $22 a month, and she gets magnificent coverage for $22 a month. Well, it's different in different states for different age people and different for women than for men, but you're going to talk about under $50 for rock solid insurance protection. But apparently in Alabama, there is a level of activity, of lawsuit activity, especially against insurance companies, that causes this company to issue another form to protect itself from legal action. So I think that might be something that bears watching. And the other thing I had to talk about today was Irma. I've had a lot of questions about Irma. I have a nest of clients who are financially successful, and they're penalized for it under our current tax system. That's an unfortunate situation. But Irma is the success penalty, and it stands for income-related monthly adjustment amount. It is an extra amount of money that's added to the monthly Part B of Medicare premium. So that that premium right now for everybody is $148.50. And then Irma could tack on a couple of hundred dollars more, depending on what your tax return from 2 years ago says. And then in addition to that, if you trigger the Irma for your drug plan, your Part D PDP, prescription drug plan, they'll tack a bunch of money onto that too. Now, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to drive you to the poorhouse. It's just going to be an irritant. I thought being successful in America was what we were taught to strive for, but what the government is doing is penalize you. So I've had people asking about how Irma works. What are the nuts and bolts of this? So who collects Irma? The additional monthly Part D income-related adjustment amount is not collected by the Medicare Part D plans, but instead it's paid directly to the federal government. The question, the next question is, which taxes are used? So that tells me whoever wrote this questionnaire is probably not using English as his first language. The 2021 Irma is calculated using the most recent tax returns available to the IRS. This would be your 2019 tax returns that were filed in 2020. And the next question is, what is considered income? Income for the purposes of Irma is defined as MAGI, or modified adjusted gross income. MAGI is calculated as your total adjusted gross income and tax-exempt interest income. The next question is, how is Irma paid? And the answer is, the amount of your Irma will be directly deducted from your Social Security, Railroad Retirement Board, or Office of Personnel Management, that's for federal employees, OPM benefits. If there are not sufficient funds in your government benefits, then Medicare will bill you directly for the unpaid balance of your Irma payment. And the next question is, how will you be notified? Medicare Part D beneficiaries affected by the 2021 Irma will receive a letter from the Social Security Administration notifying them of their Irma payment. And the second to the last question is, what happens if you don't pay? If you do not pay your Irma, you will be involuntarily disenrolled from your Medicare Part D or Medicare Advantage plan. And maybe, and you may be without Medicare plan coverage for the remainder of the year. The final question, you pay Irma even if you have a Medicare Advantage plan that includes drug coverage. That's not even a question. I don't know who writes this stuff. I'll read it again. This is the final question. You pay IRMA even if you have a Medicare Advantage plan that includes drug coverage. The response to this is if you are a higher earning Medicare beneficiary, you will find that Part D IRMA payments are required whether you receive your Medicare Part D coverage through a standalone Medicare Part D plan, that's the only plan I deal with, or through a Medicare Advantage plan, boo hiss, that includes prescription drug coverage. So that's the factual information on IRMA, how it gets paid, and the fact that it gets paid based on your earnings calculated by or reported on your tax return that was filed from 2 years ago. So that's more than most people want to know about IRMA, but often these questions are asked, and so I like to present the factual information. And that's, I haven't heard any crickets lately, Randy. Are you substituting locust sounds instead, or...
Actually, the crickets just went. You're just amazing on your timing.
I'm psycho. People say I'm psycho.
Oh no, it's psycho. No, you're not psycho. You're tuned into the universe deeper than most people.
Yes, yeah. I'm one with nature.
You're one with my smartphone anyway.
Oh boy. Well, it's good to hear. Good to hear. One of us is accurate. You know what I have to do now, don't you? Oh boy. I have to start packing.
I can see it on your face. You're looking forward to it. You can't wait. There's tears running down his cheeks.
Will you take good care of my beloved Arizona while I'm gone?
I will.
Water it frequently and
water it. Yes, I'll take care of it, and ultimately I will keep up the the Arizona State Creed.
Thank you.
It's a dry heat.
Oh boy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. And the next time you hear my voice, it'll be coming from a far, far away place, a far worser place than I'm in now. But that's okay. Stiff upper lip, as my ancestors have always said.
That's right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. As always, we couldn't do it without you. We enjoy the time together. We enjoy hearing Doug and all the Medicare expert advice that he gives us. And if you don't follow it, you can lead a horse to water, but what?
You can't drown
make
him
drink. Oh. I think that was a whole different story.
There. I don't know what I was thinking. So.
So I just want to point out, because there's a bit of misunderstanding, bit of confusion. Doug is an agent in every state in the United States and District of Columbia.
I'm here to help you if you want to enroll in Medicare. So don't be shy. Right.
So go to Amazon, buy his book, buy several, do what it says, and you will never regret it. So thanks for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy headed east and the sole proprietor of Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.